Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Is HCD. My name is Jerry Scullion, and today on the show we have two of the board members from the Next Gen SDN conference, Leia Sevsek and also Jihee Huang. We speak about the upcoming event in April of 2024. Now, we explore why this event is so powerful about supporting the next wave of emerging service design talent globally. It's a great one. Let's jump straight in.
Jihee and Leah, I'm delighted to have you on the podcast. We've been emailing back and forth for a number of months, I'm going to say, about this whole kind of the work that you're doing with the Service Design Network. And I'm really happy to be working alongside the Service Design Network again. I think it's maybe the fourth time over the last couple of years we've been doing stuff with both the Global Conference and the SDN. Y2B. YTB, should I say, the Young Talent Board. But rather than me tell everyone about it, like, you know, I'd like to understand a little bit more around the structure of the Young Talent Board and what the objectives are around this. Before we do that, I think it's probably fair to the listeners to introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourself, and where you're from and what you do. Who wants to go first?
I'm going to go first.
Yeah, great.
Thank you, Gary, for being over. I'm Jihee, Korean based in Cologne, and now designing the digital future of Service Design Network as a project manager, and also service design consulting work as a profile. Clients like UNICEF and AI Civic Innovation Platform with the ministry. So I'm more or less in the world of social and public innovation and AI. And of course, Service Design Network, Young Talent Board co-founder with Jaden, Juhi, Sahar, and now with Anna and Leah here.
Ah, the dream team.
Yeah.
The dream team. So you're a service designer in Cologne, is that right?
Yeah.
So great. We'll come back to that one in a minute, but Leah's eager to jump into this one. Tell us,
Leah, is a strong word.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, thank you, Gary, for having us today. My name is Leah, and I'm from Croatia. I'm an experience designer, currently located in Zagreb, working for a small Very design nice. Agency. Yeah, I hope you come one day and visit.
Yeah. Yeah. Invite me.
Yeah.
I'll definitely love to go to Croatia. I've been traveling a bit in the last couple of months, so yeah, definitely Croatia would be somewhere I'd love to go to.
You've been officially invited, so you cannot say I didn't.
Nice,
do it.
Nice, you heard it here, folks. So what's the scene like in Cologne and Zagreb in particular for service design?
Yeah, well, I think it's quite a huge difference, because on the one hand you have Cologne, which he can say a bit more about, but we know that Birgit Mager, a founder of SDN, is from there, so that's we could say the center and starting point of service design. But on the other hand, you have a country like Croatia,
yeah,
which, when you think about it, beyond graphic and branding design, employment is very hard to find, and the definition of service design is quite still unknown. So I would say there's quite a difference between those two.
Yeah, which might be a nice segue into the YTB, you know, trying to cultivate the maturity or the knowledge and the awareness of the potential service design can bring to both the locale and also to organizations. What sits behind your reason to get involved with the service design YTB? Like, what is, you know, how does that align to your purpose as well? So Leah, like, behind your purpose, you know, why get involved with the Service Design Network?
Yeah, of course. Jihee definitely has a different perspective, being one of the co-founders.
Yeah.
So mine is a bit towards coming from finishing my master's, don't know what service design is, and starting to get into the field. I come as an exchange student to KIST, Cologne International School of Design, where Birgit teaches service design.
Okay.
I have again, I have no clue what is service design, never heard it before. My major is in industrial design, and I'm writing my thesis. Yeah, nice, yeah. Nice. So you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But I'm writing my master thesis for the healthcare, in the context of healthcare, breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And I got a recommendation to seek Magar as my mentor. And then she introduces me to service design and subsequently to Jihi, who was one of her prime students at her year. And
Jihi's like, that's right. That's right.
Jihi's, that's me. That's me. Thank you.
That's exactly how Jihi introduces herself as well. She goes, I'm just one of the prime students here, folks.
Exactly. I stand behind my words. And Jihi says, like, wow, who is this girl? I need to invite her to join service design. I see she has no clue, but I guess she could be a good addition to the team. And that's how I came into the picture. But talking about my purpose, why I actually decided to join was the reason I mentioned before, that service design is an unknown field in Croatia. And it was really interesting to get involved into this space and stay in that community, which gave me so much freedom to explore something that I, well, basically are just getting to know.
Sure.
And my, since I was in it for some quite time, my purpose developed more into the field of, well, now I know what it is. Now I want to bring it back maybe to Croatia one day.
Yeah. So, bring it back like St. Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland.
Yeah, maybe a little less religious, but you can also say it like that.
I have found the knowledge of service design, people of Croatia. Stand back.
Yeah. Messiah is coming. Exactly.
I'm about to open the book.
Oh, let all the problems unfold. Get solved. Yeah.
Journey maps.
Service blueprint. Now everybody knows everything. Exactly.
Yeah. Now the world's problems can be eroded and ended. Anyway, don't mind me. I'm what's known as the week after heavy workshops, so I'm somewhat fatigued. That's why I'm like, everybody, it's fine. So tell us about you then.
How we started. So Young Talent Board, except the name itself, I believe we created by ourselves. We have something to talk about. We have something that what we believe in to build together and share and just be as it is. And that's how we started and founded in 2022, already the third year, and 3rd years of conferences are happening. And in the written description, we say like bridging the gap between education and professional practice and then create more diverse and equitable service and industry. Mm. But more than the word it sounds, I do believe what we do and why we do for this Young Talent Board community is bigger than that.
Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more than that. Like, what does it give both, I guess, the SDN, I'm thinking of the stakeholders who are involved, so the SDN and, you know, emerging talent. What does it give those people who attend?
Exactly.
I mean, in the industry, when we just scroll down the LinkedIn and we see people talking a lot of like big words, people talk a lot about the change and they make navigating complexity, those system change and systemic change. And I, at this point, I'm pretty clear from my reflections that everything comes from people, and community is really the perfect place to really discover together and define and activate your belief
So it's, having spoken at the event last year, it was very well organized, and that's not to say I was surprised, but over the weekend and on a Saturday, I wasn't too sure what to expect. It was a great experience. Like, for me, you know, typically whenever I do a talk, I would usually say, okay, well, I charge, like it's part of my job. But when I went in there, I could see that the amount of kind of detail, the amount of people that were involved, and the price is quite low as well. And I could see that a lot of the costs were probably just going to be absorbed on running this thing. It wasn't a case of there's a lot of profit left over after these kind of events, because primarily it's still done online, correct? It's still going to be a 100% online conference, which is different to the global one.
So yeah, exactly. Going back a bit, I thank you so much for recognizing that we were well organized, because when you're in the background, everything seems you're anything but well organized. You
I
feel
know.
nothing is going
But
as
from
you
my
planned.
perspective, it was like
Yeah, but
I
it's
felt like,
beautiful
yeah.
to see that. And actually, we are not. We're all volunteers, so working,
Yeah.
and that I guess that's the biggest beauty of it all, as Jihee mentioned at the beginning. So Young Talent Board came to place because we recognized young people are maybe not represented well in the service design in general, and we wanted to give them more voice, but also freedom to create stuff. And
Sure.
that's why they love to join and volunteer. So none of us are getting paid or what we do. We just do it based on our love. And I guess in that way, motivation is stronger and hopefully organization better, because of course, sometimes we also struggle with that. Thank God
Yeah.
it's not recognizable.
Hmm.
And besides that, yeah, I'm really delighted you had a wonderful experience. And could you remind me what was your last question? Because I talked too much now.
No, it's gonna be, you don't speak too much, by the way. I'd be saying
Okay.
know,
I'll
you're
look for the
completely
signs.
fine, but it's 100% online, isn't it?
Yeah, thank
Yeah,
you.
100% online.
Yeah, so last year we were 100% online, and that was a deliberate choice because choosing young people around the world, they didn't have funds to travel
Yeah.
long distances to attend a global conference, and we wanted to keep the prices very low, again, to be affordable, but try to cover some of the costs that happen in the background, like the
Sure.
platform or stuff. But this year we decided to have on-site events going parallelly of this
Okay.
big virtual event. And we chose that because we said, okay, online, it's interesting, it's approachable to everyone, but we still are missing this local approach by having this global reach. So this year we decided to rely on the amazing support of different universities and agencies all around the world who are practicing either service design or even beyond service design
Yeah.
that could provide us on-site venues to broaden our reach with the global conference.
Super cool.
So that's what's going to happen this year.
So if there's somebody out there at the moment who is kind of in a sort of periphery to service design, working as a service designer or say a design researcher or user experience designer, wants to get into service design, what does their experience and their entry look like into this conference? What does their entry look like into the experience? What can they expect? How do they find these satellite universities to get involved in? How much does a ticket cost? What do they only get out of it? It's the opportunity to talk about the conference.
So in general, we are trying to get volunteers. We are opening a call for volunteers all around the world.
Super
And
cool.
usually what happen is the universities and corporations that supported us, we get next year a lot of volunteers from there because I hope they have a good experience and they see, wow, this is really amazing. We want to join. So we had a lot of volunteers from, for example, SCAD. We had a lot of volunteers from SDSI. That's a university in Latvia with service design program. We also have a lot of volunteers from UK. One you met, Garavnek, last year, for example.
It's in Glasgow. Well, what about Lauria in Finland?
Really, we had also Finland, on the other hand, where there are strong universities and agencies supporting us. We have SDN chapters, so that's like a little associations of service design as part of SDN network. So they are also, when the chapter is strong and they really have a lot of influence over not only professionals but also young people in their country. Finland is one of examples. That's another reason when young people decide to join. And then we have, let's say, the third group, which are the loners that just somehow we even didn't recognize how. If we do, we would know the algorithm of marketing and we would know who to target. But in general, people who are just struggling to either enter the field, they're pivoting from one field to the other, or are just emerging students and they really want to feel this like support of the
Connection.
community. Yeah, connection. Exactly.
So in that case, if there is people out there who are, as you would say, loners, it's a kind of a derogatory word, but anyway, if they're out there at the moment and they want to connect with the community, is there a place for them to go and kind of identify where the nearest places that they can go and physically meet for the
conference? Of course they can. We try to communicate over social media a lot of our service design network, Young Talent Board, Instagram or LinkedIn, and we are going to share all of the information there. But we already know those like hotspots happening will be in Mexico, because we have a beautiful collaboration with the university there, and also one of the nice corporations that's going to support us is Accenture in Mexico.
Very good.
Those will be like one hotspot. The other one would be the one that I mentioned, service design master in SDSI in Latvia, so Riga. A lot of them are coming, a lot of volunteers are coming there. We're going to have one in America, in Atlanta. And Jihee is working with Service Design Drinks in Korea to establish a win there. Yeah, and the other one, last but I hope not least, was going to be in Berlin. So what we try to do here is really to cover all of the continents, because that's kind of this year's idea as well. So we have the conference going for, I would say, almost 24 hours, so in three time zones. So everybody can join and they won't be afraid that they're going to, that we are really European-centric and they are going to be, well, basically one in the morning and they need to get up and be on the conference.
Well, what about Australia? Because like that's where, you know, my soul is still located. I lived out there for 14 years. Is there anything in Sydney or Melbourne? Like, no, there's some great communities, some great practitioners out there.
I know. We are really trying to reach more to the Australian community, but this year we didn't establish an event there, but hopefully we will.
All right. If anyone's listening out in Australia or New Zealand,
reach out.
there's going to be links in the bottom of this episode, and I need you to represent your country
and
stand up and put a flag, you know, put the Matilda's jersey on and stand. We're going to do it. We're going to run it. So hopefully you might get something out of that. Because we still have a large listenership in Australia, which is fantastic. Like, you know,
nice. That's so wonderful.
So people get into the experience, they go and they attend it, and they can stay awake for probably about 18 hours. There's 18 hours of continuous content, is it? Or 24 hours, did you say?
Yeah, I did say 24, and sounds like very intimidating, but
yeah, it does.
It's not so like that. We divided it in, let's say, three parts of 6 hours, and then you have 2 to 3 hours of break, and you can stay with us online and hang out, but we have these breaks and then you can watch the recordings of the, let's say, previous time zone and join the next one, or as you please and as you choose.
Okay. So I remember last year when we were doing a pre-call or something for the keynote, they were saying, oh, you can hang around for the disco. Now, I thought they were joking, because until a few weeks later, then someone said to me, no, there was a disco. So tell us what this entails.
But wait, you didn't join the disco?
No, I thought it was a joke. Like, you know,
we never joke. We don't joke.
Yeah. So tell us. you never joke. No, you do joke. They're just not good jokes.
Fair enough.
That's a joke. Tell us what the
a bad one.
Tell us what the disco is.
Yeah, last year our after party was from Metaverse Space, designed by Chen.
Oh, cool!
She
really designed magnificent environment and those like portfolio hanging around and we just look at each other and dancing.
That's really super cool.
Yeah.
So there is kind of a networking / fun experience within the ticket price for the YTB conference this year as well. That's going to happen, yeah? So who's DJing? Is Birgit going to be DJing this year again?
Again? How do you know again if you didn't join last year?
I'm only joking.
Mentioning the networking, we do have this like traditional networking one-on-one where you just like randomly join with other people. And I guess that was the most fun activity after the portfolio reviews that we had. And this disco after party was more of, well, okay, we did a lot of business today. Let's have some fun now and dance and have a DJ, which is not Birgit. But we did rent a DJ last year, I think, who did like a really cute job at the end, so in the metaverse. But that's one of the ways that we provide networking, and it kind of gives a relaxing environment for everyone.
So when you bring together all these different continents and countries and communities, you're kind of blessed with a perspective of understanding service design at a global context from an emerging designer's perspective. What are the challenges that are being faced for designers leaving university now? Like when I left, I had a degree in industrial design. And now I see an awful lot of people finishing university with masters in specific areas of design, like service design in particular. What are the challenges that they face when they enter a market, say like Zagreb, where they might have done a master's in service design, but yet the maturity of the locale is quite low?
Yeah, so we do not have a master in service design in Croatia. So let's say Croatia is a very specific example of a country where service design is not yet introduced, although the problems are the same being tackled as around the globe, but we don't have a service design approach yet. But it's really interesting that you mentioned those different cultural differences for young people, because that was subsequently happening after we started Young Talent Board and we started collaborating around the globe. We found out that the differences are quite big, actually. So you have countries like Croatia, me coming from Croatia in the same field, then you have someone from, for example, UK, and you know, for example, even with working with public services in UK is already on a such higher level than I could ever imagine in Croatia, or definitely not in the next 5 years. And then you have, for example, students in Mexico. So talking with university professors, who are actually a very good source of information of what is the state of young people when they're entering the market. So basically this bridge between educational and professional practices, we found out about a lot of different struggles happening there. Not only that there is not enough opportunities, but also, for example, when we compare to America, shifting a bit focus, they have a different problem of they cannot share their projects in their portfolios because of a lot of NDAs. Yeah, and that problem does not exist in Mexico, for example, but they just struggle in general to find a job. And then you have a country like Korea. Jiki, maybe you would like to go about the specifics of Korean community in service design.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I know you mentioned when we talked about how, for example, Croatia doesn't know about service design. Then you have strong countries like UK and America who really know about service design and they are pioneers in service design. And what else is happening? They had such a strong shift towards service design and implemented it all of the fields, that what started to happen now is that they are starting to lay off people because they were hiring so much of service designers. And then you have countries like Mexico, then you cannot find a job. And then Korea, who are also strong in service design, but are not worldwide recognized. So they're seeking recognition. We also had some beautiful talks with some design studios in Africa. They also have their own story. So they're also they're practicing service design, they're doing amazing job, but they're lacking this worldwide recognition. So it's like cultural differences are quite amazing.
Okay.
It's also differences between like public sector and private. Like for example, it's my assumption, but like Taiwan, Korea, like Japan, like both are high force from the public sector. So like service design is selected, like chosen to be really shifted for the industry. And in Korea, there's even half this design governance program that like citizens can participate and really learn the service design process and do the project and also do kind of like celebration and so on. They do have like certification, national certifications, and really backup support to industry to grow. Versus the challenge in Korea is that not enough, like private sector is more toward brand strategy and UX. So it's actually a very different concept. When I talk to people working in Japan as service design sector, it seems like it's also kind of like similar, that it's carried up from the public sector and private is still, you know, like figuring out what's the value of service design can be implemented. So it's very different landscape.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences, but there's probably a lot of commonalities in terms of the experience is what I can hear, in terms of being connected with the community, to really feeling support and getting your portfolio together, getting everything structured in a way so you can give yourself the best chance of finding a job. Mm. With the YTB, like, for people who are listening saying, well, I know there's a global conference coming up later on this year. What's the differences between the global conference and the YTB conference?
So both of them have their own, let's say, target group and their own approach to it. So the global conference is more focusing on the professionals who are established in the industry and providing them space to connect and share recent findings and projects. So it's a really the most important conference when it comes to service design, I would dare to say. And the other hand, Young Talent Board wanted to be more organizing the Next Gen conference, wanted to provide this like very fresh and open space for people who don't have a lot of experience and everything basically that you mentioned. So there are cultural differences. We try to merge them somehow and find the common ground of how can we provide opportunities to everyone. So you mentioned community building. How the hell should I build a portfolio? So do I need a mentor? All of those questions we try to resolve and provide a space for it. That's why we're offering not only from workshops, what you can also have on the global conference and talks, but also mentorship sessions and portfolio reviews and design challenges. So everything that can you build your skill sets. So what started to happen is a lot of professionals from the global conference recognized our aim to help young people, and they're really providing beautiful support to review portfolios. So we're going to have portfolio reviews from Frog Munich, from Accenture Mexico, so also from all around the globe, that would really, really help young people, because they know that's the next generation upcoming, and they are leaving their work to them at the end.
I dare to say the value of like Young Talent Board, like Next Gen Conference, is that it's chosen from young people. It represents what young people think is important. For a global conference, it may say they have like different reason to be presented, or but then Young Conference, we design the conference program, the criteria, and we reach out to people from our values and principles. Yeah. And that's really talks a lot. I don't want to compare this. I'm not a big fan of this idea of the professionalism, like which conference is more professional or which is not. I don't think so. But yeah, the real value is that it's designed by young people and run by young people.
Okay.
Yeah, so we hope we know what's best for us, or at least we want to provide what we went through. Because when I finished college, for example, I found myself in a place of what now? What should I do now? And I was in Croatia. I finished my exchange year at service design. I came back to Croatia and I was like, but what am I going to do now? Who is going to help me? So staying in this network of young talents really was like super, super nice. And this stress and let's say I dare to say even depression at some point when I decided, should I go to Germany? Oh, no. Then they have a lot of hiring freezes. The language is it's not English, so it's German. You gotta know German because it's a research-based field.
Yeah.
But if I want to go to England, oh, what about visa? Which other country can I choose? So many problems that I really don't want young people to go through. So I guess this empathetic moment was like really something that drives me the most to work with Young Talent Board.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like there's a lot of thinking and a lot of doing going on to connect the expectations from other young designers who are experiencing these kind of problems. So I can see the value that it would give to people. I know when we were in the prelude to this conversation, we're talking about really creating a global community to really connect people. After the event is over, is that something that persists throughout the year? Or is the goal of this conference to try to bring people together to foster those relationships so they can build their own communities?
Well, I can say definitely that people like Jihee and Anna Han, who is the other Youngtown member, and Jaden also, we are now basically best friends. And every year we have new volunteers coming, and we have team leads who are leading small teams of 4 to 5 people.
Yeah.
And they all became such good friends that at least this friendship is really, really strong throughout the year. And then based on that, we try to organize more and more events. We want to pursue doing these on-site events beyond just the conference. And then all of us go and meet at the global conference. So this persistence throughout the year, at least with the community that we have built and the returners we have every year, is really something that's long-standing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I have got an exclusive code. I see in my notes here for the listeners. You give them 15% off. That's 15, not 50. 15% off the tickets. How much are the tickets for the YTB conference?
It's for students. It's only 30 euros. So that's.
Do they get 15% off 30 euros?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is like, that's about 1.5 pints in Dublin at the moment. Pints in Dublin. I don't drink anymore, but like I was told someone paid $12.50.
You were told, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh man, that's two and a bit pints, should I say. What's the full price if you're a professional wanting to go to it?
Yeah, exactly. So we do have for all of the 50% is for all of the prices. So also for students, young professionals, and professionals. And we made this division to give more opportunity also price wise. So we have students and young professionals are up to 5 years from university, which would be around 8 euros. So it's like more than 2.5 pints, but still.
80 euros, 80, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we have then for professionals, which is around 200 euros. So it's like also really, really hopefully approachable. Yeah. But our target group were definitely students and young professionals.
And who's doing the keynote speaking this year? Do you have anyone that we might know on the podcast?
We are yet to announce our schedule, but what's to be up.
Yeah, come on, tell us now.
It's going to be a surprise.
It can't be a surprise. You have to do it on this podcast. Come on.
Jihee, do you want to say it, or are we gonna
come on? It won't be out for another few weeks anyway. It'll be out. You'll have released it by the time this comes out, guaranteed.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share it yet. So,
if you don't want to tell, that's fair enough. But I'm crying on the inside. Yeah, I am crying on the inside.
But that just means you need to keep up on our social media to see what's coming.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Or
that you were one of the speakers.
I want to attract people to this conference. They're like, if he spoke last year, it's only going to get better. That's what we're saying here. So hopefully it's going to be a fun-filled, fact-filled 24 hours. I'm going to put links to all of this in the show notes. In return, we've got other stuff coming up with the SDN folks on the podcast and inside our Circle community, which is a private paid community for people to connect who are ethically driven around the future of design. So we've got a lot of alignment with the YTB, and I wish you the very best of luck with this event. If there's anything else that you want to shout out, like, is there a specific link for people to go to learn more about those speakers as they're announced?
You'll see the full schedule under SDN Youngtown Board social media. So if you go to LinkedIn or Instagram, you can check it out.
You'll see it on there. Excellent. Yeah. So, look, Leah and Jilnhi, I really appreciated you coming on to here today to talk to me about this. Fantastic. And I wish you all the very best of luck.
Thank you so much, Gary, for having us. It was a wonderful talk.